The following program is produced by the Tech Talk Radio Network.
Everyone knows when you go to lunch or dinner now, first thing people do is take out their phone and put it on the table in front of you like it's a revolver in the old Wild West. That's a threat to you. You got 10 seconds to say something interesting. As your story slows down, they just start reaching for it.
Hi, this is Dr. Demento, and you're listening to Tech Talk Radio. Don't forget to stay demented.
This is Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
And I'm Justin Lemmy.
We are the show that talks about computers,
technology,
and the internet. Welcome back to another week of Tech Talk Radio.
Yes.
Good to have you back once again with us. I know you had a busy week. You had a birthday party.
We threw a birthday party for my son 1 year. We had a couple kids come over and they played in an inflatable ball pit. And I've been steadily munching down leftover cupcakes and fruit punch for the last couple of days.
I think that's what we're going to call the show: leftover cupcakes and fruit punch.
The names we come up with, people are like, what do they mean by this? But now you'll know that. Yeah. It's been a busy week.
You ever watch any of the TV shows like Seinfeld? You know, our friends.
Oh, yeah.
That's where they kind of changed. They used to just call it episode 7, episode 1.
Yeah.
You know, on old TV shows. And then somebody said, let's come get creative with the naming of the show. And that's where that kind of all began.
And now it's like taking it to a whole new level with Big Bang Theory. I mean, their show titles.
Oh, they're great. I love them.
Just absolutely. I mean, for one, I can't even pronounce half of them. And if I do pronounce it, I don't know what it means. I have to Google it to see what they're talking about. Like a the conundrum compendium or something, like what?
I'll be honest with you, I've not watched that show in about a year. I know Big Bang Theory is like, you know, it's a show. If you're,
it's the number one sitcom right now, I think.
Yeah. If you're a geek, you like shows. Yeah. It's a number one network sitcom. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's, you know, on the networks, and I think that's part of the problem is I just haven't been watching very much network television.
And what have you been doing a lot more watching? Amazon Prime and stuff like
Amazon
that?
Amazon Prime, yeah. That kind of thing. Hulu. And
speaking of that, Misa and I just got done watching Stranger Things season 2.
What'd you think?
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I definitely liked it. We kind of saw it happening. We were like, okay, I think this is what's going to happen. And sure enough, it did. No spoilers. But yeah, Stranger Things 2. Great, as always. I'm so looking forward to Stranger Things season 3.
Now, for anybody who's never seen Stranger Things before, it kind of reminds me a little. And it was funny because I watched this really great documentary about Spielberg. I think we talked about that. And they were talking about the making of E.T. And, you know, remember the kids on the bikes and the clothes they were wearing? That was that definitely, you know, the 80s. 82, 83?
Actually, season 2 takes place in 84. Which actually season 1 does too, because it's right after season 1 happens. So yeah, it's because I saw a sign that said 84.
And all the characters all look like they were right out of the E.T. movie.
Exactly. The whole thing revolves around in the 80s. And it's about a show about some secret government testing that happens in a small little town in Indiana. And it kind of opens up this dimension to a portal to a new dimension that these really scary monsters come from. And it's not a horror show, but it does have some horror elements to it.
It has some scary parts, yeah.
It's got some freaky parts, but for the most part, it's pretty decent. My wife hates horror movies. She refuses to watch them, but she loves Stranger Things.
It tells a good story. Well, see, that's the whole thing. If it tells a good story, like, for example, and we're talking about different things here, but while Gloria did not like Seinfeld, she loves Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Okay.
Because it's focused really a lot more on one main character, the sad guy, but all the cool people around him. And you kind of feel bad for the sad guy, which would be Larry David. The Seinfeld, you had him. George is Larry. You had Seinfeld. You had Elaine. And you had Kramer. Mm-hmm. All of them are nice. But it's funny how people's tastes are different when it comes to that. I thought Stranger Things was kind of scary.
Okay.
You know, especially the first season.
Yeah.
You know, there's some crazy things that went on in that.
It was a really, it's a really good show.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it's been a busy week and you know, things are getting back to normal now after our trip to Japan.
I got to ask you though, you know, the big thing this week, and you know, we talked a lot about it before, and then last week we didn't really talk about it and you were gone for a month. What the heck is going on with blockchain and crypto? You know, and people have said, that's it. It's the demise. It's, you know, it's down.
It's the apocalypse.
Others have said, wait a minute. wait for it to get down to 8, and that's when you buy, because it's going to go up again. Some are saying it could still go up to 50K or 100K for a Bitcoin. I don't know.
I look at it like this right now. I look at it like everything's on sale.
Yeah.
And then that's my positive outlook to it. I literally think that everything's just on sale right now. If you looked at over the holiday season, and that's when Bitcoin just really took off in November, December.
Yeah, it was huge.
There were so many new adopters. So many people wanted to get into the game. And that's what that's what caused the price to just, you know, fluctuate so much. And now those same people, they start to see the price go down. They're like, oh, my God, I got to sell. I'm going to lose my money. They don't understand the concepts of trading. And so they were selling. And that was obviously when people start selling and more people start selling and it compounds upon itself.
Yeah.
That's what happens. And that's what's happening now. People are saying, well, my God, the price just keeps going down. I got to get out of this.
Right.
And they sell it and they end up losing money. But the rest of us traders who actually are smart enough to realize the technology behind Bitcoin, we're not in it.
That's
just
not
to
going
get
away,
rich.
Right?
It's not going away.
No.
So neither is Bitcoin. So that's the thing is I keep telling people, they're like, well, I got out of it. I'm like, no, hold on to it. I'm personally in a position right now. I did a little bit of trading back in November and December, just trying new things, you know, getting some different coins, Litecoin, Ethereum, Neo. But now I'm in a position where I'm just holding. I'm not even really buying anymore right now. I'm putting a few $100 a month into my Coinbase just to hold it there like a bank. And then when I want, I can go ahead and just purchase some Bitcoin when I feel like it's, you know, the bottom of the bottom.
Right.
But otherwise, I'm not actively trading. I'm just literally holding on to what I have. And everything I have is on my ledger, my hardware wallet. So if an exchange goes down and they won't take my money, if they get hacked, they won't get my money. And that's the thing. You hear about that in the news, too. I mean, there's a lot of news happening around it.
Okay. So the big news, of course, this past week, Facebook announced that they were no longer going to be allowing ads for Bitcoin,
because for any cryptocurrency,
yeah, not just Bitcoin, because let's face it, there, and they've been talking about this in the crypto group, which has always been providing great info, because there have been a lot of scammers.
Yeah, so I think that really honestly came about because there was a person, I don't know who it is, but there is a person that actually created a Facebook ad for Binance. Binance is an exchange,
right?
Just like Coinbase is. They created an ad for Binance, and the link said Binance.com, but what they didn't really tell people, what was happening was when you click that link to go to the Binance, it was actually that person's referral link.
Oh, wow.
So, and that's not a bad thing. Okay, it's a legit. It took them to the legitimate site, and they could sign up through Binance. But the thing is once that person signed up, because they clicked on a referral link and got referred by that other person, that first person now gets a cut of their, commission.
That's what this person was doing. And it was kind of misleading.
Yeah. And people were, exactly. Because it looks like an ad for Binance on Facebook. And so then right after that, and it went viral, many people were talking about it, saying, oh my God, this guy's genius. I mean, making an ad and it links to his referral. So he's paying for the Facebook ad, but he's getting a lot back in return. But I think right after that, that's when Facebook said, no, we're not going to do it anymore.
Now they haven't shut down groups like crypto is still there.
Yeah. They're not going to shut down the groups. If they start doing that, that's going to be censoring, and that's really going to hurt them in the long run. But I don't care that they really aren't going to do the ads anymore. I don't think it's really effective. I think the media was kind of blowing it out of proportion, saying, oh my God, that's the beginning of the end right there. Well, if you can't advertise.
But that's the whole thing. I think it frightened a lot of people, and I'm wondering if it frightened them to the point that they said, well, no, it's because they made it seem like it was almost scammish, the whole idea of blockchain crypto. I mean, like it's just, you know, we're not going to allow the scam to continue. It was almost like what it sounded like. So then people are saying, well, I'm glad I didn't get involved. And now people are talking about the downfall and how we've seen, you know, the value kind of plummet down a bit. They don't understand the trading theory. I just wonder if it's scaring people from getting in. I mean, if you were going to get in, this would be a great time because, again, the values are lower. You're on sale, like you said.
The other thing that happened, though, this week, though, if you kind of followed, I mean, there's two actually big things. There's a major exchange that got hacked, and they stole upwards of, it was like $400 million worth of that particular coin. And that hit the news. People are saying, oh my God, you know, see,
yeah,
this is what's going to happen. You're going to get hacked. You're going to lose your money. You won't if you have your money stored on a hardware wallet or a paper wallet. If you keep it on the exchange, yeah, you're running into the
fact
that there's a chance that you might get that. But otherwise, that wouldn't be a big deal. The other thing that happened this week that kind of got people's eye, Tether, which is a form of a coin. It's a coin that is basically they claim that it's backed to the U.S. dollar.
Right.
So that way, if this crashes, if you buy Tether, you will never lose down to where it's worth on the U.S. dollar.
This scale. Is what
so
was said. Yeah.
What was said. And people were like, oh, I'm going to get Tether. I'm going to get Tether because I'm going to use Tether to do this and do that. And now all of a sudden the Securities and Exchange Commission, I believe it was, of the U.S. has subpoenaed the company, Bitfinex, and saying, look, we want to audit your system. We don't believe that you have $480 billion backed up.
Wow.
And so we want to make sure that you actually are having every dollar that you say you have backed up. So because if they don't, it's going to cause Tether to crash. And Tether would then bring the price of Bitcoin down even further because Tether is really closely tied to Bitcoin.
Right.
But again, it's all these fake companies coming out, trying to jump on the bandwagon and trying to make a quick buck that are hurting the long run. But honestly, though, as these companies are found out and they're discovered and they're taken away, that's going to leave the real companies behind, and they're still going to be there chugging along. And if you've invested in those companies and you got the right investments, you're going to take off.
Somebody asked me the other day, said, how much money have you lost? I said, nothing.
I haven't lost a cent. Nope.
Right now, I don't want to akin it to gambling, but you know, it's like I have my original money still, and yeah, the money that I've made in the last couple of months is dwindled down a bit. But I haven't lost a cent. And that's the whole thing, is people got very frightened and they pulled their money. And that's why we see that roller coaster. And I'm wondering if now people are saying, well, wait a minute. Not Bitcoin. I'm going to do Ripple, or I'm going to do some of these other Bitcoin currencies, these cryptocurrencies. So that's why we're not seeing that big investment coming in. But it's going to take somebody to understand what this is all about for them to come back into Bitcoin. And I think it will happen.
Yeah, of course. I think that will. I mean, I've got a couple people that I was helping with, Bitcoin and everything. They got out of it because they got afraid. They saw it falling the price. They didn't understand the technology behind it. They thought it was just a quick buck investment, and they got out and they ended up losing money. And they were kind of upset. And I said, look, I told you in the very beginning. First off, I'm not telling you when to buy or when to sell. So don't come at me and tell me that you're mad at me.
Right.
I told you everything you needed to know. And I said, you do your own research and you understand it. If they would have understood the concepts behind blockchain technology, I think they would have been, okay, this is just a phase. It'll go.
Well, yeah, I know that there's tons of other questions, too, about blockchain. And I do know that coming up a little later on in the show, we're going to talk with Lisa Green Lewis from TurboTax, who can kind of, she's a CPA and a tax expert. We can ask her the big question for people that have taken money out of their Bitcoin. You know, mm-hmm. They might have invested $100,000, made $400,000, $500,000.
Mm-hmm.
Is that taxable? That's been the big question.
Sure.
And so we can ask her about that coming up. But that's certainly something we've kept an eye on what's been going on. Again, we want to recommend for any of our listeners. And although I think when I first started looking at Crypto Coin Trader on Facebook, a lot of it was focused on, you know, Bitcoin. Now there's so many different options. But it's great because they've been letting people in the group. And then if somebody in the group just comes off as just, no, wait a minute, this isn't right, they're pretty quick to call them out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You've got
a lot of really good people on there. And that's I've been blessed with knowing and getting to meet and know the right people in the community that doesn't, you know, won't lead me astray. And I've gotten my news from a lot of them. And because of that, I'm sitting in a position where I don't have to worry about the coins that I've invested in. So.
Right. Exactly. All right. And now, have you been having fun with your Nintendo Switch?
Yeah. Yeah. I am quickly, like, I think I mentioned this last time. Nintendo Switch, for me, it's the new video game console from Nintendo. It is portable and it is also dockable. So you can dock it at your home and play it on the TV screen. But it is quickly becoming my favorite console of all time. And I saw a really interesting article on Polygon that said that, Nintendo, they've broken all the sales records with their performance or their sales of the Nintendo Switch. But what they're saying is that they could have done even better than what they did. Switch got launched March of 2017, right?
All right.
Through the end of September of that year, March through September, they sold 7.63 million Switches. Okay. Wow. Now, the company that then went on to sell 7.24 million just through the holiday season, October through December. So they almost sold as much as they had all year, you know, March, April, May, June, July, August, September. And they did all of that in just in October and December. And the thing is what the reason why is because of the demand and the supply. They've been, you know, when it first got released, you couldn't find a Switch anywhere.
Right.
And it went on like that for a long time until the holiday season, when all of a sudden people were flooded with the Nintendo Switches. And that's how I picked up mine. But they could have gotten a lot better if they would have just had more supply, because there were so many people out there that wanted this. And it was just announced yesterday that the Switch has now outsold the Wii U. Now, that was their last console that really just failed. It was not a very good console. But its entire lifetime sales have just been surpassed by the Switch in less than 1 year. So people love it. People love it. The games are great. I love the ability that you can just pick it up and go, take it with you, play on the road, bring it home, set it in. And like I said, the games are amazing. That new Zelda Breath of the Wild, Super Mario Odyssey. I mean, those are some really good quality family games. And so if you're into gaming, or have somebody, you know, somebody who is into gaming, maybe you're looking to buy a present, I would highly recommend getting the Nintendo Switch.
How much do they go for?
I think they're typically on par with that of the Xbox or PS4. I think they're $299, or maybe they're $350. I think it's somewhere right in there.
Can you put a Plex app on it?
No. So it's not a tele. It does do Hulu though. It does do Hulu.
All right.
But they're going to come out with some more functionality, I'm sure, later on. But for right now, it's strictly just a gaming platform and then Hulu. That's all it can do.
I wanted to talk about something that really, and I feel bad going from a nice family subject like that into something that has been kind of, I'll be honest with you, has been kind of terrifying me.
What?
And I don't want to give a link out because of the content on it. But have you been following the story regarding deep fakes?
No.
Okay. So here's the deal. Now, we know that the internet has its bright, shiny, well-lit corners. But we also know the internet has its dark, deep, chamber-like dungeon secret areas.
Okay.
And I stumbled across a story that I found at Vice, vice.com. And I thought, no, this really can't be happening. They can't be doing this. And I went ahead and I followed the story, and I found out that it is indeed something that people are doing online, and it scares the bedickens out of me. And
eating Tide Pods?
No, that is just idiotic.
Oh, okay.
What is the deal with that?
Darwin right there. That's Darwin
wow.
at work.
Isn't that crazy? I can't believe the whole Tide Pod thing. Some stores have had to lock them up. Mm-hmm. But that's not what this is about. And again, I don't want to give the link out, but I will tell you it exists. I've seen it myself. They have used machine learning, which you hear that term a bit. It involves the software and the hardware working to be able to create something based on what should be there. We've seen that. We've seen photo manipulation. I mean, that's, you know, and I've done photo manipulation, where that means somebody could send me a picture and they'll say, you know, is there any way you could fix this? And I've done that. Mm-hmm. I had a photo once of a family that was taken in the 70s. The woman in the photo was sadly terminally ill. And this was a picture that meant a lot to her, but it had been ripped in half accidentally. So she sent the picture to me, and we were able to piece it back together digitally, fix it, and correct it. Well, this technology is allowing people, and I apologize for anybody that's sensitive to this, there's this technology out there now that allows people to take video and combine it and mix it. Now, it's not like a CG. It is a technology that uses algorithm, and I wish I understood a little more about it, but I did look about it. And of course, how I originally found out about it were comments that people were taking adult film stars and adult films and replacing the faces with those that are actresses or actors in the real world. So
regular films.
Regular films. So, for example, They would take, and one of them that's been done quite a bit, I guess, is the one who's married, Kristen Bell. The actress Kristen Bell, who to me just seems like a funny, very nice actress. Mm-hmm. But the thing is not only is it a video that they, you know, you say, okay, use a scene here. They can manipulate the face. So they can create the face to do any movement. And with that, then create what looks in most cases, depending on who's doing it and the speed of their computer, they can use this technology to completely replace a face. And
wow.
I have seen some of these. I went and looked and I was shocked that they're able to do this. And to me, it just seems like such a violation of privacy. It just seems so just disgusting.
That's creepy.
Because, and it's not the video to make me feel bad. It's like, I think, what if somebody is related to this actress or actor? Number one, number two, kids. I can't imagine being Kristen Bell's husband or any of the actresses that have been. Daisy Ripley is another one. And seeing this, because that's an image you can't get out of your head when it's that person's face. That's how we're identified by our face.
Wow.
And, you know, even the stars that show in the films that have made these movies are saying this is wrong. Number one, you know, that's their body. But number two, they're saying this is just not, it's just not right to do.
That is really creepy.
The technology most recently, though, I have seen has been kind of split off. And now they're starting to make funny videos with it. They did one the other day. If you find it funny, it had Steve Carell from The Office. And they replaced what looks like Donald Trump on Steve Carell's face. So I'm saying there are ways that people can use this technology. They did something similar with Carrie Fisher from the end of Rogue One, where they used, remember, computer graphics. Well, they took the same type of footage and they ended up replacing it with a shot of Carrie Fisher and digitally manipulating her face. So they're saying that they were able to do this on a home PC. And so it's out there. It's one of those things I hate to say, but it is being done, and it is pretty terrifying.
Wow. I'm watching the one right now with Steve Carell, you know, with Donald Trump.
And there,
I mean, you can tell to a certain extent that, it's been overlaid, but it's real. I mean, they can really manipulate the face and make it do any type of facial expression that it wants. And it is creepy.
My concern, though, too, is can you imagine somebody able to make it as a news story with somebody saying something they never said? Somebody somewhere they never were.
You know that there's that new show on Netflix called Black Mirror.
Yes.
You know, they touch on that kind of subject and stuff. And that's actually in real things. People have done that in real life where they've, you know, terrorists have released a statement saying that they have somebody in particular, you know, in custody or in their possession. And it's really not, you know, it's a fake. It's not really not them. I mean, there was movies even based on this technology, but
now
it's really coming out.
We're starting to see it in the fact that it's done with home PCs. That's what's even crazier. Like I said, there's an entire thread on Reddit. That's where I found the story. And again, it says, I don't want to give a link to it because of the content. However, it is something to know that's out there, and it's pretty scary. And, you know, it talks about technology. And I don't know if you saw the video with David Letterman and President Obama on Netflix. It was his first interview. They touched on Twitter and how Twitter can be an extremely useful tool. But we're seeing technology twisting things and turning things, which when you look at the algorithm for Twitter, it's a little scary. That how it can manipulate a society in saying things, whether it be for your candidate or against your candidate or against your employment or for your employment. Mm-hmm. You have to be aware of that. We can't trust technology 100%.
This is pretty creepy.
Yeah. Right. Are you checking the Reddit feed?
Yeah. And it's pretty creepy. Like I said, we're not going to, you can figure it out. You can find it on your own if you want. No links here, but it's pretty creepy.
Yeah. So it's a dark side of technology. It's always existed. There's always been a technology underground, but it is something that you should at least know about.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. Come back. It's tax time. Mm-hmm. And all taxes are just so much fun. So always like having Lisa Green Lewis on the show. She's going to talk about filing your taxes using TurboTax. That's coming up on Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Justin Lemmy. You can find us on the web at techtalkradio.com. We'll be right back.
And now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
Hey, folks, this is Sam Kinison, and you're listening to Tech Talk Radio right here. You understand that, you geek? Oh,
Oh!
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Justin Lemmy.
I'm Andy Taylor. Sometimes it's about the hardware, the gadgets. Sometimes it's about crypto, like we were talking about in the last segment. But other times it's about the software that makes our lives better. And one of those I've been using for years, I don't know about you, Justin, but Intuit's TurboTax has been really a godsend around this time of year.
Yep, I've used it before, definitely.
And, you know, there's a lot of questions about this year. And with us on the line is returning to the show, Lisa Green Lewis, a CPA and tax expert. She must kind of like us because she's back on the show. Lisa, thanks for coming back.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how are you? Yes, I do. Thank you for having me on the show.
You know, for those that have, you know, been watching television, you know, we've seen Lisa on some of the talk shows. You recently did a segment with Ellen.
Yes. How did that go? Show. Oh, it was great. It featured one of our new products that I'm going to talk to you about. But it was great. She turned it into a fun game.
If we kind of look at this year, I don't know, it just seems to me that we're hearing more about the taxes and the tax filing. And I think there may have been a lot of confusion.
We just heard, all of us heard about the new tax reform that was just passed by the Trump administration. How does that affect? It's not going to really affect people this year, right? It's going to affect them next year?
For the majority of taxpayers, it doesn't impact your taxes that you're filing now. It'll be for 2018 taxes that you file in 2019.
What are some of the things, though, that have changed, say, for this year's filing over maybe the previous year?
There's a few changes. So if you are able to claim medical expenses, the threshold for which you could claim those expenses is lowered. So before it was at your expenses, if they were over 10% of your adjusted gross income, then you would get to claim those medical expenses that you paid for over that amount. Now it's lowered to 7.5%. That's one of the changes. And then another change that was put into place, if you live in a federally declared disaster area, they've eased some of the requirements for claiming your casualty loss.
Oh, okay.
So that is one of them. So there were a lot of hurricanes last year. So people that live in those areas, they'll be able to claim their loss. And they can also, in order to claim earned income tax credit, they can look back at their 2016 income if it was lower and makes them eligible for that credit. Say in 2017, their income was higher and they were not lower, they can look back at 2016.
Being a CPA, have you found over the years that people that just decide to do this on paper, they get the book, you know, from the IRS and they start going through it, that they miss a lot of deductions?
Doing it the old way, you could miss a lot of deductions. And that's the beauty of using TurboTax. It walks you through just simple questions about you, and then it guides you through your tax return. You don't need to know about the tax laws or tax forms. It's already up to date with the latest tax laws. And, you know, it makes it really easy. We have ways that it imports your information, so it eliminates data entry. You can import your W-2 from your employer or financial institutions. You could snap a photo of your W-2 and that information can import to the correct forms. So yeah, it makes it really easy.
What is going to be like the big difference between somebody who uses basic and deluxe? I mean, you kind of have a product for everybody's need.
Yeah, whatever your situation. And online, we have the ability, so there are over 60 million taxpayers that have a simple tax situation. They can file a 1040 EZ or 1040A form. They can file for free with our TurboTax Absolute Zero online. And then all the way up to if you're self-employed, we have TurboTax Self-Employed, which is online. And with that, we have industry-specific deductions. So 1 in 5 taxpayers are becoming self-employed every year. And we're also seeing the on-demand economy growing. Intuit did a study. The number of people in the on-demand economy is going to grow by 2020 to 7.6 million from 3.5 6 million.
Wow.
So we're seeing explosive growth in that area, and we really want to help those customers in that, you know, that are self-employed. So with our industry specific deductions, it uses machine learning and it actually finds specific expenses related to your industry. It could be niche industries like a photographer. So it'll serve up expenses like video equipment or film, something very specific to your situation.
If somebody in this line of work requires them to drive to a certain location, there's the mileage deductions, which can add up quite a bit.
Our TurboTax Self-Employed, it integrates with our QuickBooks Self-Employed, which you can track your income, expenses, and mileage year-round. And then that information can import to your TurboTax Self-Employed tax return. So it's really great that those are integrated. And then new this year, we have TurboTax Live, where you can connect live via one-way video to a CPA or enrolled agent and get your tax questions answered. And then the CPA or enrolled agent can even review, sign, and file your return. So you're able to get that expert advice from the comfort of your couch. You don't have to hire
That's cool.
a babysitter. You don't have to take off of work. You're just getting that expert advice in the comfort of your home.
There's been a lot of question, and we were just talking about crypto a little while ago.
Ah, yeah.
The people that have, you know, had tremendous gains in investing with cryptocurrency, which you as a CPA may not recommend. However, some people have had gains, and if they've taken those in 2017, they've taken those. Are they going to be subject to tax on that?
Yes, they are. It's just like, you know, if you have a stock, if you're holding it as an investment, it is a capital investment. And so you will pay capital gains taxes.
But that's only if you take
claim
out.
If you sell it,
yeah.
Or you use it to trade for a different coin or something. Like if you go from Bitcoin to Litecoin, that's considered a transaction. But Lisa, my question is, and if we're going to get a little bit off of your expertise, just let me know. But the big argument people were having was that how is the IRS going to know what I've done? How are they going to know that I'm out there trading on Binance or Bittrex? Yeah, there was a big story about Coinbase, the big exchange, being subpoenaed to hand over their records of people that had put, you know, over $20,000 per year. They were supposed to hand that over to the IRS so that way they can find out who's doing it. But if I've got something like $5,000 in there, you know, how is the IRS going to be able to know? I mean, is this going to have to be kind of an honor system really for a couple of years until they get this ironed out, don't you think?
Right. Well, the IRS, they did in 2014, they placed regulations on it in saying that you're required to claim that
sure.
money.
Really kind of interesting.
Some of the exchanges are reporting it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now, I talked to somebody the other day, and he was doing his taxes the old-fashioned way. And I told him, I said, dude.
What is the old-fashioned way?
It's getting the book, and you sit there and you handwrite it all in. You use the guidebook the IRS has. And, you know, honestly, I told him, I said, you're going to miss out on a lot of taxes. He's like, well, I don't think it's going to bother me that much because I'm retired. But, you know, in the end, he found out, because he was using the old-fashioned way, he was missing some you know, deductions, and he was paying out a lot more than he thought he would be paying out. And I hopefully he did take my advice and go and get into it. What would somebody that is retired, which version would be the best for them if they've got retirement, a pension, and maybe even a home investment that they're renting out?
Yeah, so if they own a home, let's say first, they just own a home and they're not renting it out, they would be able to use our deluxe product. And then if they do have rental property, they could use Premier. And then, of course, we talked about our new product, TurboTax Live. If they have questions, you know, they want to talk to a CPA or enrolled agent, then they will be able to use TurboTax Live.
It is so incredibly easy to use. Now, the prices vary from $39.99, well, free, to $39.99. to $109.99. What are the requirements, Lisa, for anybody listening that maybe doesn't make a lot of income, maybe they have a small business that, you know, hasn't generated that much money? What are the requirements to file?
The IRS income requirements. If you're single, it's $10,400 and over. And then married filing jointly, it's $20,800. But I always suggest that if anyone has worked, even if they're under those income amounts and they have federal taxes taken out, and then also if they're eligible for refundable credits like earned income tax credit or the American Opportunity Tax Credit, they should file their taxes. The IRS every year reports close to $1 billion in unclaimed refunds, and that belongs to people who don't file their taxes, or they think that they make too little money to file, but they've had federal taxes taken out.
Hmm. Now, Lisa, for somebody that maybe hasn't filed for a couple of years and they're hearing this, they're thinking, I've got to do it. I've got to do it. And I've always said, get it done. Can they still buy previous years of the TurboTax product and do their taxes?
Yes, they can. When they go online, they can look up the previous year's taxes and they can go back to those years.
Now, the nice thing about this software, too, from what I understand, somebody could be sitting right now listening to the show, listening to this discussion. They don't have to necessarily hop into the car, drive down to, you know, Office Max or a big box store and pick up a copy. They can actually purchase it and download it. Or even in some cases, can they file their taxes and then decide, okay, I'm going to use this and purchase that copy?
They can download it with a CD, or you can just go online, and that's doing your taxes without a CD. You could go online and e-file from there.
Can you give us a website if our listeners want to get more information?
Yes, they can go to TurboTax.com. Something new we have that's really cool that I think you would like, because people, you know, they're filing their taxes right now. About 75% of taxpayers receive a refund. Just over $3,000 last tax season. We have a new Alexa skill.
Oh.
And you can talk to Alexa and find out, well, track your refund. You can find out how much your refund is and what the status is.
Excellent. And they could also file their state refund, their state tax return through Deluxe Premier and Home and Business?
Yes. Well, online, it's our Absolute Zero product, and then Deluxe, Premier, TurboTax Self-Employed, and TurboTax Live.
Very cool stuff. Once again, we want our listeners to check it out. Lisa, it's always great to talk to you. Now, the thing is, you need to come to Tucson. We'll take you out to eat. We'll give you a great Sonoran dog, and then I can write it off. I mean, I love it.
Okay.
As always, Lisa Greed-Lewis, thanks again for coming on Tech Talk Radio.
Thank you, Lisa.
All right. Okay, thank you.
We'll be back with more of Tech Talk Radio coming up.
Now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
Hey, Bill Nye, the science guy here. Whenever I am listening to the radio, especially Tech Talk Radio, it's just such a party.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
And I'm Justin Lemmy.
All right, so, you know, we look at technology, and it's affecting just about everything. Yeah, you know, I've been in the market for a used car. I've been looking.
Yep.
You know, my car, I got my car back. The engine's in. They did a great job. However, we're thinking about a backup car. And I've been shopping. And the funny thing about it, Justin, is if the car doesn't have Bluetooth, I won't buy it.
You kind of need it now.
Well, and that's the thing. You know, driving here in Arizona, and now it's, especially in Tucson now, they've gone completely hands-free. So you cannot touch your phone. They're issuing tickets. Tickets are pricey, like $150 plus.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm looking at cars with Bluetooth. It has to have technology in it. Otherwise, it's not interesting me. And, you know, our cars are going to change over the next few years.
Yeah. Well, what are your feelings on autonomous cars, you know, driverless cars?
I like driving. That's the thing. I enjoy getting in a car and driving. I've taken drives from Palm Springs to New Orleans. I've driven to Dallas a few times, Idaho a few times. I mean, I do like getting behind the wheel and taking off for a drive. Letting something else drive for me, I don't know. I don't know if I trust the technology.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I personally trust the technology. I like it. I like the idea behind it. It's been proven for the past few years, especially with Tesla and, some smaller ones that are coming out, but mostly just Tesla's autonomous mode. But what's interesting is, you know, as autonomous vehicles take on more and more, they get more and more out there. You know, you got companies like Uber and Lyft that want to get into that market because they feel that obviously if they can come out with a fleet of autonomous vehicles, they don't have to pay their drivers because there's, you know, you don't have to pay drivers anymore. You just have to have the car.
That's no good if you're a driver because you're going to think one day you're going to be replaced by nothing.
Yeah, by an AI, which is going to be like that way for a lot of things. But the thing with Uber, though, is that I think they actually did sign an agreement with Volkswagen to make a fleet of autonomous vehicles. But here's the latest thing that Uber is doing, and they're really upsetting a lot of people. Apparently, Uber wants to make it illegal to operate your own self-driving car in cities.
What?
They say that they support the autonomous vehicles in dense urban areas should be operated only in shared fleets. So they're basically trying to say is if you're in a metro area and your car is driverless, it's illegal to drive. That's what they want because they want you to take Uber. That's the only reason behind it. They want you to have no other means of transportation other than Uber or the public bus or whatever. They don't want you to have your own car if it's driverless. They're getting greedy. And they're already really not looked at very well right now with the public. I mean, they've been going through some really bad, you know, past year with other things happening. But I don't even know what to say. It's stupid.
Well, so what they're saying, let me get this right. All right, you have a driverless car, an autonomous vehicle, and you decide to go visit Chicago.
Yep.
And you take your driverless car, you drive from, you know, maybe 100, 200 miles, wherever you live, you make it to Chicago, and you're supposed to park your car and take an Uber or a Lyft.
That's exactly what they want. Yeah. Well, no, they don't care about Lyft. I mean, they want it to be obviously Uber because I don't think Lyft has any plans right now to do autonomous vehicles, but Uber does.
Wait,
but
now, would you go out and buy an autonomous vehicle? I mean, you like driving. I know you like cars. Is this something you would do?
I'm not that big into driving where I would rather have I would buy one in a heartbeat if I could. If I could go out right now and buy a Tesla Model S fully loaded with the autonomous, I would do it right now.
Would you let it drive you?
Absolutely.
You trust that technology enough?
Absolutely.
I can't see it.
See, here's the thing obviously with Tesla, you're still behind the wheel. You're technically still responsible for your vehicle, even though it's doing the driving for you. So they'd say, you know, don't sit back and read a book or take a nap. You know, you still got to be able to take control if it does. There was a couple accidents where those people died, but those were due to negligence.
Yeah, but I could be in one of those.
Those were due to negligence of the driver.
Okay.
Okay. That wasn't necessarily the car's. The one I believe was the car's fault because the sensors got confused because of the reflection of the sun or something was making it so they couldn't see a particular car. My question is, if you have a driverless car, if you have a steering wheel in it and you're still sitting behind a steering wheel, even though you're not driving, I think you technically can't be drunk. Like if you want to go out and have a few beers and let your car drive you home, if you have a steering wheel in the car and you're sitting behind it, or just even if you're sitting in the passenger seat and letting the car drive for you, I think that's still illegal. But if the car has no steering wheel, then is it legal for you to go out and get wasted and then let your car drive you home? I think you would, because you have no control over the car.
It'd be like if you were in a cab.
Yeah,
like a Johnny cab.
Yeah, exactly. Same time.
We didn't plan that. Yeah. I don't know. You know, I wonder if how that will get, you know, the diehards to just say, no, you know, I got a gas engine. I'm fine. I got my big truck.
You look at, they're always going to be out there.
That's one. You know, it's funny because if you look at the roads today, you will find so many of the vehicles that look like the other vehicle. For example, you look at, I just drove on my rental was a Rogue, Nissan Rogue. Nice vehicle. I liked it. Had some cool tech in it. But you look at the Honda, you look at the Mercedes, you look at the Toyota. You look at the Nissan, all of them look alike.
Wait, I'm sorry. Are you seriously comparing a Mercedes to a Nissan Rogue?
Well, I'm talking about from outside.
I don't know of a Mercedes that looks like a Nissan Rogue.
No, they have Mercedes SUVs. They look the same.
Huh.
You know, Honda, all of they have. And if you look at it, they all look the same.
Agree to disagree, good sir.
Well, when I was driving to go look at this car, I was going to looking at buying. I was on the freeway, and I remember a car passed me. And I said, see, it looks just like this one, because I was in the Rogue. Another car passed. It was a Honda. I said, looks just like this one. It's to the point where they're all looking alike, which I think if you give it another 5-10 years, that might be all we have on the roads. Everything that looks like the other car.
Well, look at the futuristic movies and stuff where they show cars. They're all the exact same car.
Yeah, they mean nothing. They're like Citroens.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all the exact same. But honestly, I'm really looking forward to driverless vehicles. I really would like to see that. I mean, as we go forward, every year you get more and more automated technology with your car. Not necessarily automated, but like, for instance, my 2017 Ford Explorer, I've got sensors 360 degrees around my car. So if I'm pulling into a parking spot, it'll beep at me saying, hey, you're getting a little close.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if I'm backing up, it's got wide sensors to let me know when a car is approaching me that I can't see as I'm backing up. It'll beep at me and say, hey, there's a car approaching. There's all kinds of things that so slowly as tech gets integrated into our cars, we're going to become so used to it that by the time it goes from being a driver to a driverless, it's going to be like a flip of a light switch and boom, you're driverless and we're already used to it.
Yeah, I think maybe for another generation.
Look at the cars now with mine had this. I didn't buy it if I want one more step up in the model, but it's got the adaptive cruise control.
Yeah.
And it's got the lane keeping feature. I mean, those lane keeping features are standard on some cars. But the automatic or adaptive cruise control, which will basically, you set a speed, but if the car in front of you speeds up, your cruise control will also speed up. And if the car in front of you slows down, your cruise control will also slow down. So again, those are just all automated features of cars that we're slowly starting to see integrated into vehicles that we're just going to start thinking it's standard.
Yeah. Yeah, you make a very good point. But also, I don't like the price of where cars are going.
Oh, that's true, too.
I mean, come on. $80,000 for an SUV? It just doesn't make sense.
Well, I mean, look at a fully loaded Tesla. It's like $130,000.
I saw an article the other day that they were actually recommending to people. While I'd like to see the car industry do better here in the United States, they were mentioning to people that sometimes the smart route is to buy a car that's between 5 and 10 years old, pre-owned, with the best mileage you can get, sure. Lowest mileage you get, and just rotate that every 3-4 years. And you're not spending all that money, and if you're financing, all that money on interest. So I don't know. You know, unless your BC does real good, your Bitcoin does good, you just go buy cash for one.
Yeah, yeah, go buy a Lambo, right? Buy myself a Lambo. I see, honestly, I got my Tesla fund within my Bitcoin there, so I'm hoping that maybe one day when it goes back up, be able to buy Daddy's Tesla.
We'll have to keep an eye on that one and see if that actually happens. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah.
We got a note in from Stan who is thinking about buying himself a new router. And he wanted to know what we recommend and if we had ever heard of TP-Link. And, you know, I've started to see TP-Link on the shelves. And I've always thought maybe it was an offshoot of Linksys, but I'm finding out it's not.
No.
It's a company out of China.
Yeah, I believe it's China. I've never really had luck with TP-Link. I mean, they may have come far in the past few years, but every TP-Link product that I've ever owned, it's failed within a year or two. If you're looking to get a quality wireless router, I'd say probably, get the Netgear, the newer Netgears. I think they're usually, what 100, 150, I think?
It depends on, the speed you're getting.
Yeah.
And the features that you want on it.
Yeah, definitely get routers that have, 5G, 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi. You're going to want 5 gigahertz. And yeah, look at the throughput that you're going to be able to get on Wi-Fi, because mostly, that's what you're going to use it for. You want to see a good throughput. As our homes are getting faster and faster internet, you need to make sure your wireless router keeps up with that. Like I said, when I got my gigabit fiber from CenturyLink, my current Wi-Fi, which was only a 2.4 gigahertz, I was only getting like 15 meg up and down. And I'm like, this is unacceptable. I've got gigabit fiber, yet I'm getting 15 megabits up and down. So I went out and got the Google Home, which is a Wi-Fi router. It's the Google Home, just a small little box.
Right.
Then I was getting about 500, 500 megabit up, 500 megabit down.
Right.
So yeah, it was great.
Much better. There's others on the market like Belkin, Linksys. Linksys is what I've been using. I've been pretty happy with it. Although I have found that I've had to reboot my Linksys router more than I ever had to on my ACS 1900.
Huh.
And I upgraded. I definitely upgraded on the router. And I've been a little disappointed in that respect. But
do you have your router plugged into a UPS?
No. I do not.
That could be something because they, you know, you get brownouts or just fluctuations in power that can drastically affect the performance and the life of any electronic equipment. I mean, I've got everything. I've got all my stuff plugged into UPSs. It's not just a battery backup. It's a power conditioner.
So yeah, protects your line.
Yeah, it protects your line. It keeps the power going at a constant 120 volts.
I had a friend who asked me not long ago. He said that he noticed that his internet was degraded. He was using Wi-Fi. And he said he noticed that it was degraded in the morning and in the evening.
What like do you mean seven, degraded?
He just would all of a sudden, he said it would just cut out. Or he would notice that it just got real, just hang.
Okay.
And he said it happened between like 7 and 8. And then it would happen again like between 5 and 6. And so I was thinking about it, and I asked him, I said, what's usually going on around that time? And he said, well, everybody's in the kitchen making breakfast and then dinner. And I said, where's your router? And, you know, he had his Wi-Fi router. And he said, it's in the kitchen. And I said, what's it next to? And he said, the microwave.
Uh-huh.
There you go. There's Boom. Your Move it.
Yeah, of course. Don't put you next to the microwave. Come on, so yeah.
You got to think about that kind of stuff. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We come back. We will give you our website of the week. It's kind of a cool website. I like the idea of it. All right, so that's all on the way. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Justin Lemmon. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/TechTalkers, or on Twitter at Tech Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
And now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Diedrich Bader from Batman, and you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
You've been on your computer all weekend. Shouldn't you go out and socialize with your friends?
I am socializing, Artard. I'm logged on to an MMORPG with people from all over the world and getting XP with my party using TeamSpeak.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Justin Lemmy.
I'm Andy Taylor. It's a big question I have for you. Mm-hmm. You know, we were talking about Tesla earlier. Have you bought your flamethrower? Did you get it?
Yeah, you know what? I saw that. And I was like, you know, that'd be a kind of a cool toy to have, but I could see myself getting into a lot of trouble with that.
The thing is, it's a flamethrower. That's not a toy.
Well, it depends on what your idea of a toy is. According to Elon Musk, it's a toy.
All right, here's the deal. Elon Musk has this company called Boring, which is a strange name for a company, right? Yeah. And he was trying to raise $10 million. I don't know why, but he wanted to raise $10 million. So he built these flamethrowers for $500 a piece. He was selling them. And he said he's just going to sell enough to fund this $10 million. He sold 20,000 of them, project funded, and now they're sold out.
Yeah.
They do come with a fire extinguisher.
Yeah, right? With the Boring, it has the Boring Company logo on it, too. Yeah.
How boring is a flamethrower? That's not boring at all.
No, that's awesome. But I mean, like I said, I could get myself in a lot of trouble with that.
Yeah, I honestly could see somebody burning down their house. I'm going to kill the spider on the wall.
Yep. Or let's you get you're cooking dinner or cooking dessert and you want the creme brulee and you forget to have your mini torch and you just whip out the flamethrower and you just melt the whole kitchen.
I can see your other half laying there, face all black with soot, the hair all burned.
Kind of like Wile E. Coyote after the Acme bomb goes off. Yes.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Well, I don't know. We'll have to see. I'm predicting the first accident will occur at least within the first 6 months.
Oh, yeah. So we'll hear about it on the news.
Yeah.
So anyway, our website of the week.
All right.
This is a cool website. I ran across this because I'm following a YouTube streamer. And what he does is he plays video games online. But I like to watch him because he's very entertaining. He goes by a username of StoneMountain64. But right. He's got a way for users to support him and to be able to allow him to create this content for them. Because let's be honest, it takes a lot of time to make these videos, to edit these videos, to get them online. So this is a way for him to do this full time without having a job. The website is called Patreon.
Oh, okay.
PATREON.com. It is where you can go and you can find all kinds of different content providers. They don't have to be video game streamers. They could be bloggers. They could be podcasters. They could be doing other things, anything. You go there, and it's kind of like a Kickstarter in a way.
All right.
So what you do is you become a Patreon of your favorite artist, and it usually is like, you know, $5 a month, $10 a month, $25 a month, whatever, and you are becoming a subscriber to them. And what you do is you get benefits from that. So with Stone Mountain 64, again, we got a little ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
A little cow out there.
Yeah.
What he's giving me and all the rest of his Patreon subscribers is access to his Discord chat server where he runs his games from. And we can get in there and we can all chat with each other. We can also chat with Stone himself. And we can even play games with him because we are supporters. So he gives us the password to his game. So in that way, we can all get into the game before he gives the password out to all the public.
Oh, I like it.
But for me, honestly, I just really enjoy watching his content. I think it's, for me, it's worth 10 bucks a month to watch him to do what he does. Again, you don't have to be a video game streamer. And if you have a project, like you want to have it, you can go and create your own Patreon and ask for people to support you.
Not too bad. So if you're somebody that dabbles in the arts and you would like to say, hey, I would like to do this and get better at it, can you support me? Patreon's the way to go.
Yep, patreon.com, patreon.com.
All right, that's it for this week's Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Justin Lemmy. We will see you next week. And in the meantime, check us out on Spreaker, iTunes, Google Play, and at techtalkradio.com. See you next week.